Welcome to Winning Is Not Everything, where we bring sanity back to youth sports by focusing on character development, effort, and sportsmanship, not rankings and trophies, in conversations with some of your favorite athletes and coaches. I'm your host, Sean Jensen, former NFL reporter, children's book author, and youth sports coach. Today, I have part one of my conversation with cyclist Mandy Marquardt, an 18-time U.S. Nationals champion who's in contention to represent the United States at the next Olympics. In this episode, we're going to talk to Mandy about her youth sports journey, including a life-changing diagnosis which, unbeknownst to either of us, connected us in a powerful way. Let's get to it. Last October, as a regular contributor to NBC Sports' Sports Engine, I was given the chance to interview several athletes who were grateful to their coaches. One was cyclist Mandy Marquardt, who highlighted one coach who stoked her passion for the sport when she was very young, and another coach who helped push her while also being mindful of her type 1 diabetes. I didn't know much about type 1 diabetes, a chronic condition in which the pancreas produces little or no insulin, a hormone needed to allow sugar, also known as glucose, to enter cells to produce energy. Diabetes was a small part of the bigger story, which centered on her appreciation for those two coaches. But I remember being struck by her positivity. Fast forward a few weeks, and my son Elijah wasn't feeling well. He's 12 years old and usually very energetic, but he was tired and not his usual upbeat self. We kept him at home from school for a few days, hoping he'd kick whatever modest illness he may have picked up. Just before Thanksgiving break, he returned to school, and I'll never forget how he looked when I picked him up. His face was ashen, and he was just laying on a bench outside the school office. He was supposed to have basketball practice, but I knew something was not right. I immediately called his pediatrician's office. The next 72 hours were a blur. The stunning diagnosis of type 1 diabetes, the immediate trip to the children's hospital, where Elijah spent two nights, and then him being released just before lunch on Thanksgiving. My son and I were both afraid of needles, but you're forced to get over that very quickly. Life changed dramatically for all of us, and I liken it to trying to drink water out of a fire hydrant. There's just so much to do physically, mentally, and spiritually. Instinctively, after sharing the news on social media, I received lots of messages of encouragement, but one of the most encouraging was from Mandy. Then a few weeks later, she followed up to see how Elijah was doing. She offered to visit with them via Zoom, but my son largely kept his feelings to himself. But Mandy, in the most pleasant way possible, continued to check in, and the two connected in the spring. She was training halfway around the world, yet she carved out time to speak with Elijah, and it meant so much to me as his father. To me, that's who Mandy Marquardt is. It's not about all those titles and distinctions. She's an encourager, role model, and champion for type 1 diabetics. Without further ado, let's get to my conversation with her. I am so honored and pleased to have Mandy Marquardt as our guest today. Thank you for joining us, Mandy.
Thank you so much, Sean. I'm really excited.
Well, Mandy, I want to start with one of my favorite questions to ask my guests. What's your favorite childhood sports-related memory?
My favorite memory was when I was starting to do group rides on the road really early in the mornings in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I was probably only around 10 and 11 years old, and I was riding with people that were way older than me, that could be my parents and my grandparents. And my dad would be following with the car behind us with his car and the group ride. And it was just so funny because everybody would know that my dad was there. He was pretty much the SAG vehicle, they call it, the vehicle just in case if anything ever happened. But he was always there with me. And that was always really funny. I mean, shows right there that my parents definitely were always there and really supportive. So that was awesome.
Mandy, which coach encouraged and inspired you most when you were younger?
I have found, working with so many coaches throughout the years, and I always just look back and think about when I first began cycling. And before that, though, I was swimming, running, doing triathlons. Those were all really fun, but I just felt like I was just in one place. And when I found the bike, and really wanted to start competing in specifically track cycling and road cycling disciplines. I actually went from Florida to New York for a summer camp, but it was at Mike Frazee's sports resort. And it was such a cool experience because he would cook and it was just really interactive and it was fun. And there were mountains compared to Florida where it was flat. And he was just saw the talent and drive in me at a really young age. Yeah, he was just always challenging me, but really positive and taught me a lot about nutrition and really was the one that really drove me to have this passion in the sport and really recognize what it takes, to be a great athlete. You know, when you go out for a ride, it can be really nice weather. It was cold. I think it was early in the spring, so you just never know what kind of weather you're going to get in New York. And it's really hilly. And so he lives on top of a mountain. So we like rode down the mountain, did intervals along the Delaware there. Yeah. On the way back, it started to hail and snow. And I mean, he could have put some of the riders in the car. I mean, me being one of the youngest, it's probably 11. I just remember going up this painful climb and just with hail and snow. I just remember it like yesterday. He wasn't yelling in a mean way. He was just really positive and encouraging, like, you got this. And this is all just like mental. And it was kind of one of those turning points where it's like, wow, I really remember digging deep and just knowing like what I'm actually capable of and that I'm stronger than this weather condition and I can make it back because I'm like, all right, I can do this. And it was just, and I did. And I remember having like the best shower because I was like freezing. But yeah, I think that was just a big turning point too. He just taught me a lot of what I'm capable of and how much resilience I do have. Yeah, it was kind of a very powerful character building experience.
What was the most valuable lesson you learned through a challenger defeat?
The most valuable lesson that I learned was like how resilient I actually am. You know, like I've done so many sports when I was young, from swimming to tennis. Just, you know, it was great to be exposed to many sports, but to really find a sport that I was able to travel, see the world, and meet different people from different states. It was just a really cool experience to be able to just ride my bike and have this new feeling of like freedom and excitement. Yeah, I mean, I'm still here today riding my bike and I still love, you know, swimming and tennis and all those other sports. And they've really helped shape me to be a great athlete in this sport that I'm currently in. So that pathway was just the way it was, you know, supposed to be. And my parents were, you know, really supportive of that. And that was important.
Who's an unsung hero from your childhood? Ideally, someone key to your development as a student athlete who's not related to you.
That's a really great question. I'd say it wasn't just one particular person, but older athletes that I'd look up to when I was younger. Just seeing them being able to, you know, achieve these great things, but also be able to have a bad race and still learn from it. And, you know, at a young age, I was like, I want to win. I want to win. I want to beat this person and be the best and always kind of reach for higher goals. But really, they taught me to appreciate the journey. And that's something that I've really have always valued. And I still, you know, I've looked back and said, you know, those are great people that I've met and those friendships that I'll always have.
We'll get back to the rest of the interview in just a minute. If you've enjoyed Winning Is Not Everything, there's a chance you'd absolutely love my new video series, Model Student Athlete. It's my passion to teach youth sports character traits to help athletes grow, not just on the field, but off the field. And this video course is just the thing to help them really level up. The 8 courses focus on different character keys like gratitude, effort, humility, and attitude. Each feature an impactful video that's roughly 15 to 20 minutes long and also comes with a lot of downloadable resources to keep the momentum going, as well as quotable memes and even a quiz to see if you've mastered becoming a model student athlete. You can get each of the 8 courses individually, or you can get a great discount plus some exclusive bonuses if you get one of the Model Student Athlete course bundles. Oh, and use the code WINNING to get an additional 40% off your purchase as a thank you to our listeners. Head to modelstudentathlete.com to get started and use the code WINNING for 40% off your purchase. Model Student Athlete, where character counts more than the score. What's one thing you would tell your 8, 12, or 16-year-old self?
Ooh, that's a good one. each age would probably be different, but one that really stands out to me is when I was 16. I was born in Germany. My dad is German and my mom's originally from Florida. And when my parents separated at 14, I really just wanted to get an experience and race in Germany. So I moved back to Germany to live with my father and I was racing there. And I did the German Nationals, was third in one of the events. A couple months later, I was at a routine VO2 max testing with the state of Germany, which I was racing for, was Baden-Württemberg. And because when we compete at nationals and other events around Germany, we compete as a state team. So you have to make the state team. So that was a process too. But I was at this testing facility and just to kind of determine my training zones for the rest of the year and what that would all look like. And they did blood work and noticed that I had elevated blood sugar levels. And I had no idea what that meant. And I was just hoping that I was sitting there like everything was going to be fine. And I was waiting for my dad for a couple hours. And because I drove up with former teammate and her parents. So my dad came and my blood sugars were still high. So we went right to the hospital. And I was 16. I was thinking, okay, maybe like this puberty or something like that I ate or something that I did wrong. And I remember being at the hospital and met with so many nutritionists and doctors, and they did so many tests to make sure all my organs were still functioning. And I met one particular doctor that was overseeing all the doctors, and he told me that I would never be able to compete at a high level in my sport again. And that really struck me. I believed him. I was like, okay, maybe I'm hurting myself by pushing myself at this level. But I always knew like the bike was my happy place and it kept me really grounded. And I just always loved how freeing it was. So my dad knew how I felt about that and just said, we'll take one day at a time. So he helped me through that process and I got back on my bike. You know, some teammates were pretty supportive and, you know, some athletes in the sport at the time in Germany weren't, because they didn't know anybody else with type 1 diabetes and that was an athlete and I didn't either. So I felt pretty alone. But I was like, okay, I'm going to take one day at a time, keep training, really take care of my nutrition and just have fun. Cause like this was something new and I felt like my life just turned upside down. And I didn't know what was going to happen, but the bike was just like, all right, it's always been a passion of mine. I told my dad I want to compete at nationals that year. So I did. And I was competed in the same event and I was bronze in that same event when I didn't have diabetes. And now I have diabetes. The place on the podium didn't change. So that was a huge turning point for me, because I was like, whoa, okay. So I'm just starting to grasp this whole diabetes thing. And, you know, living with type 1 and racing with type 1. So it's like, okay, what am I actually capable of? And maybe I'm like, this doctor maybe wasn't right. I'm like, all right, well, I'm having fun. So my dad's supportive, my mom's supportive. And I moved back to Florida. Yeah, I was 17 then. Yeah, everything kind of just fell into place. I, you know, came across Team Novo Nordisk, the world's all diabetes professional cycling team. We're all racing with type 1. And that changed my entire mindset. I'm like, whoa, these are other athletes also racing with type 1 diabetes. So, and I'm like, I wanted to be a part of that. And just because it's a community of people that understand, and also then through them, I've learned to talk about my diabetes and my story. I remember it being so difficult because I was so embarrassed about it. But yeah, I know that's a pretty long story about it, but I, you know, looking at it now and what I would tell myself, is just, you got a great perspective and just keep following your dreams. I mean, that's really what I did. I just kept following my heart, and that's really the best I could tell myself at that time, and to not be embarrassed and ashamed of any diagnosis or condition, because it is who you are and it teaches you a lot about yourself.
It's remarkable, I think, the power that some adults and authority figures can have on us, right? Because when that doctor told you that, you just assumed that the doctor was right, right? I mean, because we're kids, how would we know? And I remember, you know, adults who told me, teachers who told me what I could or could not do. And it was crushing. I remember in one of my first internships in college, an editor told me the only reason I got a job is because I was a minority. And it crushed me, you know, because I didn't know better. And here's this big shot news editor at this big newspaper. He certainly must know better than me. And so I think that's something that I hope parents, adults, coaches out there just understand how powerful our words are to kids. But on the flip side, for the kids who are listening, do what Mandy did. Do what I did, which is that you don't always just believe. Not everybody's always right. And throughout our life, we're going to have doubters and we're going to have haters and we're going to have people who are just flat out wrong. And so I think one of the great lessons from your story, Mandy, is that you really focus on the people that you could trust. You knew you could trust your father and mother. And if they felt that, hey, you keep doing what you love and we're going to figure it out one day at a time. And that's what you did. And look at you now. You haven't stopped.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like this really resonates with you too, because I remember in November I was racing at the World Cup in Hong Kong and you had reached out to me that your son was diagnosed with type 1. But literally like 2 months before that, we did an article together. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy how we met and were able to share this. But through this too, I mean, really have these conversations. And I think that's so important for young kids to recognize, is that having these conversations and finding people that you do relate to and trust, and to keep just following your heart and just be open to experiences, because, you know, to have really great days, you do have to have some bad days, and that's okay. It's nothing to ever be ashamed about, but to have a good community of people that you trust is so important.
I'm so grateful that you've tuned into this episode of Winning Is Not Everything. Please make sure to like the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, and share with your friends. And if you have any questions for me, reach out through my website, seankjensen.com. I really want to hear from you. And while you're at it, check out Model Student Athlete and let me know what you think. Winning is not everything, but the three H's to be a real hero in life are humility, hustle, and heart. I'm your host, Sean Jensen, and we'll see you again next time.